Doing is a series called The Power of Story, realizing that we all have a story. We all have a story to tell because the Lord has brought us to a certain place in life. So that's pretty much what we're going to talk about. We're going to learn really how to tell our own story, how to formulate our own testimony, and then we're going to look at the stories or accounts of what Jesus has done in the New Testament. And then also one of the things that we're going to do too is hopefully and prayerfully kind of help you to understand the story of our church, where we came from, and then how we fit into the story on how we go forward. So that's going to be this summer, and so don't miss that. And you know, I think we'll all be helped, and the Lord will be edified when we learn a little bit more about how to share what He's done in our lives. So we're in 2 Peter. I'm going to open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the scriptures this morning. Father, we do thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you, Lord, that you would continue to bless us. I thank you, Lord, that you love us and serve us, and you showed us that through your son, Jesus. I pray now, Lord, as we deal with the issue of false teachers and their claims, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to fully understand what you've done for us and fully understand how some might try to take us from that and divert us from telling other people about that. So I pray now that as we get in your word, that it lifts you up and it's understandable to each one of us, and that you minimize the distractions so that we can pay attention. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So 2 weeks ago, from 2 Peter 2, 1 through 9, we learned to identify the false teachers and how God will deal with them. And now in verses 10 through 22, Peter goes a little bit deeper to warn believers. If they follow these teachers, what they're going to see, and also what's going to happen to them in some senses. So in 2 Peter 2, 10 through 22, we'll learn about the character and the claims of the false teachers and how they have dire consequences. So we're going to learn about the character and the claims of these false teachers and how there's dire consequences to following after them. So the passage starts out with bad character, like identifying this bad character. So the first point that we want to look at is found in verses 10 and 11, and it's the character of pride. So let's look at verses 10 through 11, and we're going to pick up in verse 10. It says this: "And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord." So the first bad character trait that we're going to see in false teachers is something called pride. Now, sinful pride is having an excessively high opinion of oneself and one's achievements. So now the pride of the false teachers actually goes a step beyond that, because not only do they think so highly of themselves and their achievements, but they also despise any kind of authority that God has set up. Any type of authority that God has placed, especially His own authority. So they despise God's authority, and they despise the authority that God has given humans. So for instance, they would despise human government, headship in the home, leadership in the church. But these false teachers want to undermine and run things the way they choose, and not to submit to God and the things that He has set up. So Peter now uses the angels in heaven as an example and saying, you know what? Even though they have greater power, they still submit to God's authorities. See, when we see people challenge authority structures that God set up, we can realize that they're on a slippery slope to false teaching. I'm not saying that individual people should not be challenged, but what I am saying is this: the scriptures teach that God has a design, God has a plan, God sets up authorities, and those things, the structures that God sets up, should not be challenged and should not be changed. See, here's what happens. It's deep-rooted pride that challenges God's design. That's basically what it is. It's deep-rooted pride that challenges God's design. And think about it this way. Think about some of the atrocities that have happened in history. I'll name two, the Holocaust and slavery, okay? No one would agree those were good things. But it was the pride of human people that challenged God's design. The pride of people like Hitler and his followers that decided we're better than other people, so let's get rid of them. They challenged God's design. They challenged God's design in the fact that God created each person with dignity, value, and worth. They challenged the fact that God created each person in his image, male and female. He created. That's when we go back to Genesis. God created us in his image. So now these prideful people decide to challenge that in things like the Holocaust. Also, in slavery. I'm better than you. I will own you. You will submit to me whether you like it or not. No one would agree these things are good. And these are things that false teachers would promote. They're full of themselves and they're full of pride. So they look at life and say, whatever gets me further, whatever I feel like doing, however I want to live. The problem is it challenges the authority of God. They look at God's word and say, there's no authority there. They look at God and they say, he's not the boss of me. I'm the boss of me. Now think about this. Have you ever fallen to pride in life? Now when I describe pride like that, you're like, no, that's not me. But when you think about your life, have you ever thought, hey, I call the shots. I call the shots. God might say don't do that, but I'm going to do that anyway because I feel like it. I want to do that. And really, what's he going to do? And even worse, sometimes you continue to do the wrong thing and nothing bad seems to happen. You're like, yeah, okay, I'm getting away with something. You're continuing on and then all of a sudden you're filled with pride. God says don't do that, but nothing's happened to me yet. Or God says don't do that, but that doesn't apply to me. That's all those other people. Yeah, that's not for me. Or I'm the boss and I answer to myself. See, but interestingly enough, the funny thing about pride, and that's not too funny, is it also displays something else. It displays ignorance. Let's look at verse 12 and see what Peter says about the ignorance of these false teachers. He says, but these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. So now what Peter's saying is, listen, they're prideful, but they're ignorant. Peter's saying they're no smarter than animals. And some of you at this point would say, well, animals are pretty smart. There's some animals that are pretty smart. I'll give that to you. There's some that are pretty smart, okay? But there's none that are created in the image of God. Go back to Genesis. Look at the creation account. Human beings are created in the image of God. See, the false teachers are willfully blind to what the Bible teaches, and they're ignorant of who he is and what he provides and who he wants us to be and how he wants us to live. It's evident by the things that they do and say. They disregard the teachings of God. So some of them don't know the teaching, so that's a type of ignorance. But some of them know the truth, and in their ignorance, don't follow the truth. Reminds me of a story I read about a guy. His name is Michael David Cohen. In September of 2011, he lives in South Africa, and in South Africa, it's the hotbed for great white sharks, okay? I'm going to talk about sharks because everybody's talking about sharks these days, right? And in the story that I read, and actually I saw the YouTube video, because I'm a surfer and I follow things like this, he decided that he was going to go for a swim, even though in South Africa they have shark towers and shark watches and put up shark flags, and they put up all the shark warnings, and he decided he was still going to go for a swim. Other people said, you know what, yeah, he's a local, he always ignores those things. And he was noted as saying this, if a shark decides to take me, blame me, not the shark. Well, on September 29th, 2011, a shark decided to take part of him, okay? He decided to go for a swim despite all the warnings, and he lost his leg. In the video, somebody's videoing from the hotel that overlooks the beach, you just see this big 16-foot-long shadow just circling around like, can I have some more? Okay. He knew the truth, but he disregarded the truth and decided to take a dip anyway. He was ignorant of what could happen. Or even worse, he knew what could happen, and in his ignorance, he decided to jump in anyway. Is that you? Do you ignore the truth? Maybe it's a salvation issue. Maybe you hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that we're all sinners. And in your ignorance, you say, well, I'm not really a sinner. That's reserved for really bad people. I'm only a little bit bad sometimes, and that would not characterize me as a sinner. So in your ignorance, you think, I don't sin. I have no sin. Or maybe you don't trust that Jesus truly walked on this earth, truly died to pay the price for our sins, truly rose again. You hear these things, and in your ignorance, you discount them. So rather than believing that Jesus is the only way, you, in your ignorance, say, no, I'm not a sinner. I'm good enough. I could do this on my own. But the truth of the gospel is this. None of us can do this on our own. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove that he was God. Jesus Christ said himself, all who believe in me will have eternal life. Listen, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant of the truth. The truth, Jesus says, will set you free. I love the fact that the truth is such a simple message. But you know what? Sometimes in our own ignorance, we look at it and say, it's too simple. It seems like there has to be more. What's the catch? But there's no more than that. That Jesus died on the cross for us. So maybe you're ignorant of the gospel message. Maybe that's the first time you've ever heard that. If that's the first time you ever heard that, you need to trust in Jesus. You need to trust what he's done for you. But maybe you do trust in Jesus, and you're displaying your ignorance in a different way. You're displaying your ignorance by saying, okay, God says not to do that, but I'm going to do that anyway, because I've been getting away with this for so long. Maybe in your ignorance, you're saying, God says not to do that, but that's reserved for other people. Maybe in your ignorance, you're saying, God said not to do that, but it's fun, and I really want to do that, and that's the way I want to live. Don't be ignorant. Don't follow the false teachers. Don't follow what the world has to say. You know what? Increasingly, this is happening, and I hope you feel this way as well. We've had this conversation with our children, and more I'm understanding the scriptures that tell us we're strangers, we're aliens, and this is not our home. Anybody else feeling like that? Okay. We're strangers, we're aliens, this is not our home. God gives us the way that we should live. And now, in some senses, people that follow his words are looked at as ignorant. The whole thing is shifted. It's pretty crazy. But not only are false teachers prideful and ignorant, they're also what we call hedonistic. Verses 13 through 14 tell us about that, and then I'll explain hedonism. It says this, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. So now what he says is this. He says the false teachers are hedonistic, and hedonism is this, the pursuit of pleasure and self-indulgence. So we understand this. Wrong doctrine will lead to wrong living. You know, if you're believing the wrong thing, you're going to live the wrong way because that's what you know. But here's what's going on with the false teachers. They promote whatever makes you feel good or whatever you feel is right, do that. They pursue pleasure. And here's what happens. They have a following then and now because what happens is unstable people, as the scriptures look at them and say, wow, now that's living. That's the way I want to live. They look like they're having a good time. They look like they have all the money. They look like they're living it up. So they follow after and they think they must be doing something right. See, much can be said about this, but I think if we're honest, we're all a little hedonistic, aren't we? Okay, we all want to be happy, don't we? I mean, how many people woke up today and said, I want today to be a horrible day. I don't want to be happy. I want to be bitter and angry. That's the day I want, okay? Hey, listen, if you woke up like that, you're really messed up and you need some seriously help, you know? Because most of us want to be happy. But the false teachers are teaching this form of hedonism of saying, you know what? Sinful behaviors that make me happy, I'm going to continue to do. I'm going to continue to promote. I'm going to continue to praise others who do the same. But in the case of the false teachers, it's these sinful activities that make them happy. It's these sinful things that give them temporary fulfillment. Is that you? Does your idea of fun look like a frat house? Are you the type of person that says, like, you know what? If I'm not doing something wrong, I don't feel like I'm having a good time. Or look at it a different way. If you're not happy, does everyone around you know it? Some of those people in your household can answer that question, can't they? If you're not happy and things aren't going well, the complaints start flowing and everybody knows it. You're grouchy. You're having a bad day. Why? Because you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. But you know what? Not only are false teachers prideful, ignorant, and hedonistic, they become, and this is my favorite one, they become insane, okay? They're insane. Let's look at verses 15 through 16 and find out what this insanity looks like. It says this, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. So he's saying they're putting off what's right and they're going astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing. Did I read that already? Epic fail on my part. I was supposed to read verses 13 through 14. At the last point. So I'm going to read 13 through 14 because I didn't read that yet. Suffering wrong as a wage for their wrongdoing, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes revealing in their deceptions. While they feast with you, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. Then we go on to, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. So now what happens is this. They're forsaking the right way, and they're doing what is wrong. So now Peter, what he does is he cites Balaam. And if any of you know this story in Numbers, it's a pretty bizarre story. I mean, Balaam was forsaking the right way, gaining from the wrong, and then he was sitting on his donkey and hitting his donkey because he wanted his donkey to go. The donkey wouldn't go because it saw an angel, which is bizarre at this point. But then if things are not bizarre enough, the donkey turns around and says, hey, stop it, right? You want to talk about insane, okay? Balaam was so on this sinful course that he heard an audible voice from God come from his donkey. And the scriptures say this, to stop his madness, okay? Hey, if you're crazy, hearing a donkey, that's either going to make you crazier or it's going to stop you in your tracks. Thankfully for Balaam, it stopped him in his tracks. It stopped his madness. See, in addition to his greed, Balaam urged the Moabites to trick the Israelite men into illicit relationships with the Moabite women. He was a false teacher. He was saying, no, it's all right. Go fraternize with people that God said don't fraternize with. Go do immoral things with people that God said don't do immoral things. So to stop the madness, the donkey spoke and Balaam woke up. The false teachers, like Balaam, had sinned so long and so intensely, here's what happened. They became insane. You ever sit back and watch the news and watch the culture and the world around us and say, this place is crazy. This is insane. And some of you are living this right now. You're seeing this right now before your eyes. And I feel that some of you, and maybe this is me too, the older you get, the more insane you think the world is, okay? I don't know if it's our relationship with the Lord is getting closer or the world is getting more insane. Whatever it is, we're starting to see the more people walk away from God, the more insane they get, the more mad they get, the more crazy they get. But is that you? Has your sinful lifestyle or your sinful choices made you insane? Maybe you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I don't even recognize this person anymore. I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing, that I never thought I would do. I'm saying things that I shouldn't be saying, that I never thought I would say. I'm making decisions that I shouldn't be making, or I'm following after things I shouldn't be, that I never, who am I? You feel like you're insane. And maybe God needs to plant a donkey in your life to wake you up. I'm serious. Maybe that donkey's me. I don't know. But here's the thing. The character of these false teachers is he's saying they're mad, they're insane. And I can tell you this, when you make a list of your friends' character traits, insane, I hope, is not on the top of the list, okay? You want somebody who's loving, compassionate, loves the Lord, follows the Lord, does what's right no matter what the situation is. So here's the bad character traits. The bad character traits tip us off now at the end of the day to the claims of the false teachers. And these claims, the scriptures tell us, have dire consequences. So here's the thing. If you follow wrong doctrine, there's going to be consequences that no one gets off scot-free. Let me just tell you this. Sin needs to be paid for. That's why we love Jesus, because he pays for our sin. But I could tell you this. When you continue on down the road that you're not supposed to go down, sure, eternally your sins are paid for, but there's going to be some consequences in your life. Some things are not going to go the way that you thought or the way that someone told you that they would go. So these bad character traits have issues. They tip us off to these false claims that have dire consequences. And let me just tell you this. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Some of you guys know that. You learned that maybe in Sunday school. Bad company corrupts what? Good character. Okay. Bad company corrupts good character. If you keep hanging out with people that are promoting things that God does not desire for us, eventually it's going to corrupt you. So if you hang out with prideful, ignorant, hedonistic, insane people, here's what's going to happen. It will take its toll and corrupt you. So what does this corruption look like? The scriptures tell us in verses 17 through 18. It says this. These are waterless springs and mists driven by the storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. So now what he's saying is this. These false teachers, by and large, they're going to lead people away from the truth. They're going to send out false promises that are going to take people away. They promise their followers satisfaction, but it does not quench their spiritual thirst. It's like a well without water. Is that useful? No, it's not useful. These teachers, with their religious propaganda, give the appearance of being truthful and helpful, but they turn out to be empty. Beautiful, but of no help to thirsty people. See, millions of people are following false religions that promise but cannot give true fulfillment. They lead people away from the truth. You know, that's why when you hear me, sometimes when I preach the gospel, I'll say, you know what? If you think there's a better way, go out and look. Go out and look. You know why I could say that confidently as a pastor and as a Christian, as a person who knows God's word? Is you're not going to find it. You're going to find some temporary fulfillment, but you're not going to find the fulfillment that we have in Jesus. So, you know what? I'm not afraid. Go out and look. You'll be back. Okay? You'll be back because you know what? You have a thirst that can only be quenched by Jesus. So go out and look. If you're skeptical, If you're following after something else, if you're wondering if God's word really has what it takes for fulfillment in life, go out and look. I can confidently say that Jesus will find you and he'll bring you back. See, remember, false teaching is anything that tampers with the gospel message. So if the message of we're all sinners that need a savior, his name is Jesus, he died on the cross, rose from the dead, and if we trust him, we will have eternal life, anything that deviates from that is false teaching. If I were to say to you today, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and be a good person, false teaching. If I were to say to you, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and show up at church every week, that's false teaching. If I were to say to you, you can be a really good person, you don't have to worry about Jesus Christ, just be really good, and hopefully your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, that's false teaching. Know this. False teaching comes in many different forms. Here's one for you. Yeah, okay, you believe in Jesus, that's good. I believe in this or that. And you know what? This religion will get me to the same place that your religion will get you. It's all relative. We're all going to wind up in the same place. That's a huge problem because that's not truth. The truth is, on the other side of that, all roads lead to eternal separation from Jesus, except for trusting in Jesus. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you this. I admit, moment of honesty, it's not a popular message, okay? And it's becoming less and less popular. And people like me and people like yourself who hold to that message, who trust in that message, and who preach that message will become more and more and more unpopular. But guess what? I care about God's approval over man's approval. I don't care about being popular. You shouldn't care about being popular. You shouldn't care about being well-liked by everyone around you because you're willing to sacrifice what you believe to appease them. We shouldn't care about that. We should care about what God says, because guess what? On Judgment Day, who are you going to stand before? Him. Are you going to blame anybody else? You going to stand next to anybody else and say, well, he or she did this to me? No. It's between you and the Lord. Let's not allow people around us to be led away from the truth. Let's continue to preach the truth, to tell other people the truth. The second thing that we find out, the dire consequences of these false teachers is this. They deliver the opposite of what they promised. Interestingly enough, verse 19 says this. They promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, for whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. So now, here's what the false teachers do. They promise liberty, but lead people into bondage. Peter uses a bit of sarcasm here. How could people who are slaves tell someone else how to be free, and they're not even free themselves? It's like two people sitting in jail, and one convincing the other on how you can be free. It just doesn't really happen. They can't. They can't be free because they're not free themselves. How can these teachers teach others the truth and they don't even know the truth? Or worse yet, they've rejected the truth. They've heard the truth, but rejected that truth. The blind leading the blind. This illustrates that saying. Have you ever followed after something that brought you into something that did not deliver what was promised? Have you ever believed somebody's word and it brought you into something and you were just really let down, put it that way, because what was promised did not come to fruition. Some popular things you might even hear that don't have to do with spiritual things, but hey, you can earn tons of money sitting at home. Last time I checked, nobody sent me a check for that, okay? This product will change your life, right? Lose unwanted fat in 7 days. You're like, it's been 8. I haven't lost anything, okay? Here's the thing. We're duped when that happens, right? And you know what? There's little consequences when it's things like that. But what about when it's spiritual things? Imagine going through all of your life and being led astray. The opposite of what was promised was true. You can have freedom in this. Your mind can be free. You can be open and you can be tolerant. You can be all these different things. But the truth of the matter is the opposite of what is promised is true. So as Christians, we need to be constantly reminded. And this is why I stand up here with the word every week. Constantly reminded to test all the things of Scripture. Test all the things by Scripture. If you hear something and you hear a teaching, go to the Word. You know what Jesus said in John 14:27? He does not give as the world gives. He gives true peace. The world gives false promises. The world gives false peace. So we as Christians have to realize this. The only truth that can be delivered is from Jesus. Don't believe lies. And then finally, and this is where it gets kind of tough, because these false teachers, the dire consequence on themselves is self-deception. They're so deceived that they want to bring other people with them. You know, sometimes we look, and I'm guilty of this, we look at people and say, you're just a mean and nasty person that wants to deceive. And there are some people out there that are like that. But for the most part, many people that are teaching falsely are actually self-deceived. They don't know the truth. Or they think they know the truth, but they're not freed because they don't know the truth. So in verses 20 through 22 says this, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire." So now Peter's describing false Christians. Let me just tell you this. This is not a person who was a believer and then lost their salvation. That is impossible to happen, okay? The scriptures tell us, once you're a believer in Christ, once you're saved, you're always saved. The scripture tells us so many times, Jesus says, you're safe in my hands. Ephesians 5 says this, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Once a person is a Christian, they're always a Christian. What he's speaking about here is people that wash themselves off or make themselves look like Christians. Let me just tell you, some of the false teachers will be very hedonistic and pull people into very sinful ways. Others of the false teachers will be very religious. And let me just tell you this, being a Christian does not mean you have conservative politics, does not mean you go to church, does not mean that you're very moral. Being a Christian means that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what these false teachers are actually deceived in is they think they know the way of righteousness by getting very religious and very legalistic. But unfortunately, they realize that does not deliver. Unfortunately, they realize that it does not deliver. And he's saying basically like a dog or a pig can wash themselves, but they can't change their nature. They can clean themselves up, but they're still the same. That's the same way with us. If you don't trust in Jesus Christ, but you try to morally clean yourself up, your sin is still evident to God. Your sin is not forgiven. These people knew the way of righteousness and had a knowledge of Christ's work, but they did not personally receive Christ. Their outward pollution was washed away, but their inward corruption was still evident. The commentary of Warren Wiersbe states it like this. He says, they were professors, but not possessors. They seemed to experience salvation, but in due time they drifted back into a life that suited their nature. Dogs go back to their own vomit, and pigs go back to the mire. Basically, that's what he's saying. Maybe that's you. And you know what? People will say this to me all the time. Like, Pastor Mike, you preach the gospel every week. Like, yeah. And they say, do you really think that new people come into our church every week? And I was, yeah, actually, new people come to our church all the time, which I'm glad about. So I preach the gospel because of those new people. But I also preach the gospel, and I told this to this person, I said, I also preach the gospel because I know that there's people that have been coming to our church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they don't know the gospel. What do you mean? Are they not listening? Spiritually, their ears are closed. They think they're Christians because they come here. They think they're Christians because they're moral. They think they're Christians because they're conservative. They think they're Christians for fill in the blank. But when the gospel's preached, they already think they're Christians, so they don't think it's for them. So they think that their own goodness is getting them to heaven. Let me just tell you, I love you too much to let you think that any longer. You have to listen, okay? When you're spacing out when I preach the gospel, when somebody's phone rings, when a baby cries, when somebody walks through the door, and that's definitely more interesting than what Pastor Mike's saying up front, okay? And I see this. I see everything from up here. You think you're hiding in the back? You're not hiding, okay? Here's the thing. You have to know this. This is cold, hard truth. Jesus died for you. It's not about being religious. It's not about being good. Jesus died for you. Trust him. He died for you. He paid for your sins. It's not by how good you are. Some young girl asked me at the end of the service, from the 8:30 service, she came up to me and she said, Pastor Mike, if it's all about just believing in Jesus, why do we do good works? And I was like, I'm glad you asked that. Because Ephesians 8-9 says, for it is by grace that we have been saved. But Ephesians 10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know what that means? Because Jesus saved you, he's called you to do good works. You might be a Christian now and saying, I'm not fulfilled. You talk about fulfillment, I'm not fulfilled. It's probably because you're not following him. You're not doing good works. He created you to do that. When you do that, you feel fulfilled. You feel that you have purpose. You understand that you have purpose. See, the problem is you can't put the good works before the faith in Jesus and say, I'm saved by this. Because guess what? You're never going to be fulfilled. Because guess what? You're going to do some good, but you're still going to do some bad. And then you're going to feel discouraged and unfulfilled. But see, me as a Christian and you as a Christian know this. When I do good works, I sense the fulfillment of the Lord. I sense that I have purpose. When I do bad things, I know that I have forgiveness in Jesus. I know that I don't measure up. But I know that because of his righteousness and because of his death on the cross for me, that I'm not worried about what's going to happen for eternity. So if we follow false teachers, we're following them off a cliff. So we see the character and the claims of the false teachers will have dire consequences if we follow after them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, in this society, in this culture, in this day, how so far people have come from your truth, Lord. It's just a constant reminder that we're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're aliens. We don't belong here, but we're here for this time to tell other people about you, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful this world is not our final destination. But I pray now, Lord, that we would hold true to your word. Hold it up in high regard so other people can know the truth of the gospel message, Lord. You love so much more than we can ever imagine. And we're thankful for that. So I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here, especially that doesn't trust you, that's trusting their own works or a false teaching that they don't realize is false, I pray, Lord, that they would trust the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.